I think if he's healthy, it'd be great. The problem is he hasn't been healthy in years. And while Julio Jones will walk into Canton one day, look, I think it's one of those things where you take a shot. There's no reason not to. It's a one-year deal. And maybe you're lucky. Maybe you have a year where Jones comes in, he plays 14, 15 games, and he's excellent, and you get that last little bit of greatness out of him before he retires. But I think the more likely scenario is that he's probably pretty limited. That offense is going to run through Evans. It's going to run through Godwin. It's going to run through Brait. I think guys like Kyle Rudolph, guys like Julio Jones, it's a stab at getting a little bit more production, maybe a little bit something in the red zone. But I think that's probably what – I would be surprised if Jones is a massive factor in Tampa based off his last few seasons.
Now, just sticking with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously coaching change, Todd Bowles taking over. How much of an impact, if any, do you think that'll have on the team?
I don't think it'll have a ton. Brady's going to run that offense. That offense, essentially. Now, I know Byron Leftwich obviously still there. He's been the coordinator for years. Leftwich has his team today as well. So I think the marriage of Leftwich and Brady will still kind of determine how they're going to run the offense. And defensively, Bowles, of course, will still be in charge, as he's been for years under Arians. I think, you know, you'll probably see a little bit different, maybe attack and maybe, you know, time management, stuff like that, you know, some situational things. That'll probably be the biggest difference. But as long as Brady's there, I don't think you're going to see a real shift in their offensive culture. I still think, look, the Buccaneers, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year. Now, I will say, I picked them with a little bit of skepticism in the sense that they're a very old team. That is a team with a lot of age, not just a quarterback. And you wonder if that's just going to take its toll. It took its toll last year on them. So now they're a year older than that. But I think if they're healthy, I think they're the best team in the conference. It's just a question of will they be healthy, and will they be healthy at the right time of the year.
Looking around the NFL with Matt Verderam, a national NFL reporter with Fans Sided. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Matt Verderam. Let's stay in the NFC here, a team that I'm very intrigued by, and I think a lot of people are, the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, we now know that Jimmy Garoppolo very likely to be moved, as the management and coaching staff saying Trey Lance will be the guy in charge going forward. And Trey Lance, he's a very unique player, right? We've seen his skill set a little bit last year, and obviously his time at North Dakota State, very limited as well. But just how high do you think this offense can be with Trey Lance under center for his first year as a starter?
You know, I wrote my weekly column, Stack in the Box, at Fanside. It went up Monday morning. I wrote about the 10 things I'm watching the closest as training camp opens up here across the league. That team and that situation was number one. I look at Lance and the Niners. I don't think there's any one player in the league this season that can swing the Super Bowl race more than Trey Lance. If he's really good, they're a front runner. They're as good as anybody in football. If he's average, they're still a playoff team and they're dangerous, somewhat what we've seen with Garoppolo over the last few years. If he's terrible or he just really struggles as a rookie and it's kind of an up and down thing where maybe he has, you know, 15 touchdown passes and 16 picks, then they're probably not in the playoffs. And they're really not much of a threat, especially in a division where you know the Rams are really good. The Cardinals should at least be capable. So I think, look, if Lance is what they're hoping he is, the Niners can easily be a top team in the NFC with Green Bay and Los Angeles and Tampa. But it's going to be interesting. He just has not played a lot. I mean, you look at the last 2 years combined, one in college, one in the pros. He has 103 pass attempts combined in 2 years. I mean, this is a kid who's just not played a lot of football. Part of that because of COVID and North Dakota State shut down. And then, of course, sitting behind Garoppolo. So I think he is going to be a fascinating, fascinating player to watch here as the season gets rolling.
One of the guys who might make life a little bit easier for Trey Lance, you know, once the season gets going, is Deebo Samuel. He's at training camp, working on the side, not taking part in drills, kind of a hold-in type situation, which is becoming more and more common in the NFL, looking to get his new contract. Do you expect that deal to get done relatively quickly?
I do. I think, look, once Garoppolo's moved, either by trade or by release, they save over $20 million. I believe it's $27 million. So all of a sudden, you have all this extra room. Some of that could be to beef up Samuel's number this year. Some of that could be rolled over to kind of deal with his number over the next year or two. So I think the Niners are going to be able to use the savings of Garoppolo to kind of pay Samuel here the first year, 2 years of the deal. It has to get done. The question is going to be for the 49ers, where does that final APY, that annual number, come in? Because you see Tyreek Hill get $30 million a year from Miami. Deebo Samuel was amazing last year, but that was the first year he was a Pro Bowler. They cannot pay him $30 million a year, but he's going to come in, I would think, right around what McLaurin got, which is $24, $25 million a year. He just had a great year, first team All-Pro, and they asked him to do a ton. I think the right move for the Niners is somewhere in that $25 million a year, and you hope it's production that can continue here for the next duration of his contract. But it is a risk. They give him the ball quite a bit. He takes a lot of hits, both as a runner and a receiver. But I do think in the end, if you're the 49ers, you have to have Deebo Samuel. That offense doesn't work without him.
Looking around the NFL with Matt Verderam from FanSided. Let's go over to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quarterback situation, very interesting there. Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger had been there forever, now going with Kenny Pickett, or maybe it's going to be Mitch Trubisky. I think Trubisky might have the slight edge, being the veteran. What do you think with that quarterback battle?
It's funny. You know, most years you're going through the camps, and you have four or five quarterback battles, or at least two guys who it's reasonable that one guy could start over the other. This year, it really feels like this is it. I don't know that there's even another one really around the league that you look at and say, okay, it's a true competition at quarterback. And part of that, of course, being the fact that Pickett was the only guy taken in the first two rounds of the draft at quarterback. But I think if you made me lay down money today, Trubisky starting week one, it makes the most sense. You want to ease Pickett in. I don't think there's a lot of people around the league that believe that Pickett's going to come in week one and light it up. I think it's kind of felt like, okay, look, even though he was a fifth-year senior, he played quite a bit of college ball at Pittsburgh, he's not yet ready to come in and just get rolling. And they are not built for him to go in there and start throwing the ball over the yard. They have decent weapons. Their offensive line is not good. They do have a great defense, though, and so they can play a little ground and pound if that line can at least road grade for Harris. But I would suspect that Trubisky's got the edge, and you're probably going to see him early, and I would guess that he gives way. I could see a scenario where Pickett plays more games this year, but Trubisky might start early, unless Pickett's just unbelievable in camp in the preseason.
I want to look at a few more questions here for you, Matt. I appreciate you hopping on the Jason Greger show with us, Connor Halley filling in until Greger returns later on in this hour. Michael Thomas, a guy, you know, for the fantasy football fans, the guy was an absolute legend his first 4 years in the league. In 2020, suffered some injuries, doesn't play in 2021, but looks like he's getting closer to being back on the field. Won't have Drew Brees. He'll have Jameis Winston, of course, as the starting quarterback down in New Orleans. But how big of a weapon do you think he will be in his return to the NFL at age 29?
I think he'd still be really productive. As you mentioned, he's yet to turn 30. He's still a guy who, well, there are very few players who are better route runners than Michael Thomas. He has great hands. I don't think you're ever going to see him return to the player he once was. Part of that's because he doesn't have Drew Brees anymore. But I also think if you look at the way their offense is set up now, you have Jarvis Landry. You drafted Chris Olave. If you're the Saints, you want to diversify that offense. You, of course, still have Alvin Kamara in the backfield. So if you're New Orleans, you don't want Michael Thomas to have 200 targets. That's not the way you're built now. It's more spread it out, but once you get the ball out of his hands quickly, I still think he can be very productive, provided he can come back and that ankle's fully healed. New Orleans is fascinating because of all the teams in the NFC, I think they're the one sleeper. Look, do I think the Bucs win the division? I mean, yes. I said earlier, I think they'll go to the Super Bowl if they can stay healthy. But New Orleans has a great defense. And if Winston can keep the turnovers down, that's a really good team. Like, they have a great running back. They've got three really good receivers. Olave turns out to be good as a rookie. You've got a very good offensive line. That is a team that could win a lot of football games if Jameis Winston isn't a turnover machine. That is the big if for them as they enter camp.
Another guy coming back from injury this year, looking to get back on track, is Christian McCaffrey, running back with the Carolina Panthers. What do you think about his chances? I mean, it's like still 26 years old, a couple of years just where he's had those injury problems. And, you know, Chuba Hubbard stepped up a little bit last year, so a guy that can potentially take a little bit of the load from him. But is Christian McCaffrey, you think, going to get back to that superstar status?
You know, it's tough because for a running back, you're just taking so many more hits than a guy like Michael Thomas. And with McCaffrey, especially McCaffrey, you're talking about a player who they throw the ball to him more than they throw to anybody else, and they run the ball to him. I think there has to be, to borrow the term from the NBA, a little bit of load management for him. I don't think you can just say, look, he's going to touch the ball 400 times. I don't think that's feasible. I don't think it's not in this day and age. You are the rare guy if you're getting 300, 350 touches and you're just rolling year in, year out. I mean, we finally even saw Derrick Henry get hurt last year. So I think the problem in Carolina is he's by far your best offensive weapon. Matt Rhule knows that if they don't win this year, he's probably looking for another job. And they're paying him a fortune. So the belief is going to be, hey, look, if we're paying him this much and we got to win, he needs to touch the ball as much as possible and to heck with the consequences. But I don't know that that's the best thing in the world for Christian McCaffrey. He's played 10 games in the last 2 years. You're asking a lot for him to come back and all of a sudden be maybe the best offensive weapon in the game.
Matt Verderam joining us here on the Jason Greger Show from FanSided. Matt, how about the AFC West? This offseason was crazy. Just an arms race with teams loading up to try to catch up to the Kansas City Chiefs. How do you think that's going to play out?
I still think the Chiefs are the favorite in the division. Look, I love what the Chargers did. I love J.C. Jackson. I think Khalil Mack at this point is a little bigger name than he is production, but he's still good. I like Kyle Van Noy coming in, another guy who you maybe know the name a little bit more than what he's actually capable of producing on the field now, but I think a lot like Mack, he'll bring leadership, he'll bring a presence to that team that hasn't maybe had it in recent years. So I really like the Chargers. The one thing with the Chargers, I have to see them win a game that matters. I just have to see them do it. We have gone down this road with the Chargers so many years, it feels like. And I know Herbert now, but this is only his third year in the saddle, but they had multiple games last year. If they beat Houston, they're in the playoffs. If they beat the Raiders, they're in the playoffs. They can't do it. Denver has the most variance, I believe, of any of the teams in that group. I could see Denver being a team that goes 12-5 and wins the division. I could see Denver going 8-9. I think a lot of it depends on how quickly does Hackett get on the same page with Wilson and they get that thing rolling. Now, the good thing for them is their schedule is very easy early. The bad part of it is for them, they have a murderous gauntlet the second half of the year. I mean, they are going to have to be ready to go, healthy, the whole nine. I think the Raiders of the four teams are the worst team. Now, I say that, it sounds like a dig at the Raiders. If the Raiders played in the NFC, or excuse me, if the Raiders played in the AFC South, I would pick them to win the division. But they're just in a division where I don't know that that defense can stop anybody. I love Crosby and Jones off the edge, but the other nine guys, question marks about the Chiefs under Andy Reid have lost five plus games, or more than five games once. They've won at least 11 games every single year Reid's been there, save for one. I still think the Chiefs are a great bet in 12 games, and I think if they do it, I think it's a tight division, but I still think Kansas City is the best team in the division.
Now, I got to ask you about Josh McDaniels. Obviously, comes over from New England. His history as a head coach is well documented in the AFC West. It didn't go well for him when he was the head coach of the Denver Broncos. We've got a lot of Raiders fans up here. Now, can you give me any reasons why you think that he could, you know, have figured things out in the last few years going back to New England?
Yeah, look, McDaniels is still a really young guy. You know, he got that job in Denver. He was in his early 30s. I mean, that was a very, very aggressive hire by the Broncos, and it worked early, and then it petered out late. You know, his problem, really, in Denver was he just clashed with some of the bigger players, guys like Brandon Marshall, guys like Jay Cutler. And then that just led to a downhill spiral where they couldn't get out of it, and he ends up out after a year and a half. And they overdrafted Tebow. I mean, there were a lot of things that happened in that building that, over his time, didn't really lead to a long tenure. But I do think McDaniels now is older, and I would hope that he's learned a little bit better how to deal with some of these players when he's the man. It's a lot different than when you're a coordinator. I think the upside is he's got great weapons to work with. I think Derek Carr is one of the more underrated quarterbacks in football. I think offensively they're going to be very, very good. I'm a little worried about the line, but I think they'll score a lot of points. concern you have with McDaniels is just, if that defense isn't good, is there a way for them to kind of mitigate that and fix it as the year goes on, him being an offensive coach? Or is it one of these things where they go 8-9 or 9-8 and every game is 35-31? I think that's, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm really bullish on the offense. I'm worried about the fact that if they can't get home with the pass rush on a given play, especially in that division, they're going to have a very hard time defending teams.
Matt, final question for you. Is there any surprise teams out there that you think maybe aren't getting enough love right now?
Well, I gave the Saints. I think the Saints are a lot better than people think. Now, granted, some of that is based off the fact that Winston has to be judicious with the football, and that's something he has not succeeded at in most of his career dating back to Tampa. I'll give a team in the AFC, and it is a long shot, but I do think there's a world where they're pretty interesting, and it's Jacksonville. Now, I didn't love Jacksonville's offseason from the standpoint they retained Trent Baalke as GM. They've spent a lot of money on free agents, who I think are good players, but I think they overpaid for them. I think in a couple of years, you're going to be looking at a lot of contracts and a lot of dead money that they're not thrilled with. But in the short term, they're good players, guys like Christian Kirk. And I think if you're Jacksonville, that might be a situation where, look, you got rid of Urban Meyer, you're bringing in Doug Peterson. That's probably, in all seriousness, worth 4 to 5 wins alone. Like, just having an adult in the room, I could see Jacksonville being an 8-win team, maybe if everything broke right, a 9-win team. And in that division, maybe they contend for it. I think Indianapolis will win it. I think Tennessee's better than Jacksonville as well. But the Jaguars, you could see that team, kind of like Cincinnati did last year, where they had the quarterback and then it all kind of came together. I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl like the Bengals did, but I could see them making a jump that surprises some people based off of where they've been the last couple of years.
That's a bold prediction. I love it. Matt, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate it, and we'll have to get you on again in the regular season.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.